folks, we start another week here in Central Florida where, once again, it is summertime. It is hot out there, and it's going to get hot in here, I guarantee you, because you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, for the very best in general dentistry, health-centered dentistry, and Mercury Free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. All right, I am Christopher Hart. Pleased to meet you. In case you've never listened to us before, and I hope you'll continue to listen if you listen now. And if you've been listening, thanks for being with us. I am in the studio this afternoon with Aubrey Kahn. Aubrey, how ye be?
I'm be good. It's not hot out there. Who told you it's hot out there?
Oh, yeah, that's only because you spend your days, a part of your day, up in attics. Where
yeah,
it's
with 148 degrees in the attic this afternoon. It was nice and cool outside.
Yeah, yeah, that's one way to make yourself cool, right? All right, and Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. And the phone number, as always, is 407-774-8255. And you are pleased and welcome to call. And we, of course, will have Abe Katzman with us today. He'll be coming to us live from Jerusalem, where last week they were suffering through a heat wave. And now they're going to have to suffer through, evidently, this deal. We shall see. And then later on in the show, John Barros is going to come back for his monthly visit with us. We didn't do it last week because we were at Dub's Dread for the live remote, but he's going to be with us this week, and we'll talk about what he's been doing and the things that he's been seeing on the front lines downtown in front of that abortion clinic. And he's bringing one of his volunteers with him today, and it's a very special volunteer. And you folks who've been listening to the show for a long time, I think, will recognize her voice. All right, so it's still the big news in terms of politics is Trump. He's Trump and everything else. And Moby Dick lives. That's right. He has survived another weekend to swim on. In fact, he's gotten bigger in terms of the polls. So I want to talk about that a few minutes here before we are joined by Abe. Over the weekend, NBC, along with SurveyMonkey. Now, SurveyMonkey is this new high-tech, 21st century polling company that uses computer models and things where you go on the internet and then they model it out to get quote-unquote accurate numbers. Now, having said that, SurveyMonkey was the only polling organization that accurately predicted the upset elections in Britain recently. I don't know if you remember, I think it was last year or earlier this year, they had some big elections over there, and conservatives won big time over there. Nobody thought it was going to happen. The other polling services didn't show it. SurveyMonkey did. According to SurveyMonkey polls, before the debate, Trump was at 22%. He is now at 23%, and this includes the little dust-up, the bloody well dust-up over the weekend. And second place is Ted Cruz at 13%. Third place is Ben Carson at 11%, then tied at 8% are Carly Fiorina, Marco Rubio, tied at 7% are Walker and Bush. Walker and Bush moved down after the debate. Rubio stayed unchanged. Fiorina gained pretty much the most. Well, I couldn't say the most, but she gained a lot. Ted Cruz gained a lot, and of course, Ben Carson gained a lot. And here's the bad news for the Republican establishment at this stage of the game. If you add up 23, 13, 11, and 8, I know I went to public school for a long time, but I still believe I did go to Catholic school for 2 years, so I think I got a handle on this. That comes up to 55. 55% of the Republican vote right now is going for outcasts. The outlaws, right? The non-politicians. Even Cruz, even though he's a politician, he's not really seen in the same light as all the others.
But have you noticed one thing about the top four?
That's those top four that I'm talking about.
Those top four, they are all looking and talking in bright colors. no pastels. Everyone that's below those top four are all talking in politically correct terminology, and they don't want to upset the apple cart.
And
these four, they have grabbing the bull by the horns, and they are tackling it head on.
And the polls' numbers are showing it. And other polls indicate pretty much the same thing. There's an Iowa poll comes out, shows Trump still strongly in the lead in Iowa. So this little dust-up didn't hurt. So that leads me to the mystery. There's a lot of stupefied people out there who can't figure out why this is. How can this be? I mean, in any other day or age, you know, he would have gone the way of Herman Cain and others, John Edwards et al., right? And it ain't happening. So the stupefaction comes from why? Why is this not happening?
I think that the press is allowing this to happen. They haven't started jumping on Trump and putting him down. Well, not like they did with Romney. Not like they did with Herman Cain.
Well, they're beginning to do just that.
Well,
it's
going to take time before they actually do it.
Well, I think there's a different dynamic at play here, too, if you will. Hear me out. And then Mike, we'll get to your phone call here in just a second, so hang with us. Because I'm on I see stupidity in your comment there. So we're on the same track here. We're sniffing out the same trail. I talked about this on the show last night, and by the way, if you missed last night's show, it was a pretty cool show. We had a lot of great phone calls. You can, after tonight's show, of course, go to our archive, and we will be here live until 7 o'clock. The Rays are off today. You can go after our show to the archive and check out last night's show. Our archive, of course, is at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. But I think something that everybody's missing about Don Trump that trumps a lot of other things, pun intended. And they say, well, you know, he represents all this anger out there and this, you know, frustration with the establishment and the party. And yes, that is true. And, but I think it goes deeper than that. I think that at the heart of Donald Trump's success so far in this campaign is his message, his core message. His core message is that of what I call he is projecting a can-do attitude.
Right.
Okay? We are great. We have been great. We can be great again. All we got to do is get the doofuses out of the way. It is that straightforward, that simple, and yes, that positive. And it is sticking. It sticks in your mind. He's right. He's right. He's right. We are great. We are the greatest nation in the history of this world. I don't care what anybody else says or thinks. And we know it. In our hearts, we know it. Who else has been saying it here lately? Nobody. Donald Trump has been saying it. And he says it over and over and over again in a myriad of ways. They call it condescending. No, it is a proud, patriotic American that we are hearing in Donald Trump. Maybe crude by some standards, but that's the basic message that he is projecting. We are a can-do nation. And in that sense, he's pumping up the team. Don't you see? We are a can-do team. And think about what we have been living in our lives, especially since Barack Obama became president. But it even kind of started with George W. Bush. We can't do this. We can't do that. You better not do that. And you better not do that over there. You can't do this. You can't do that. Right? That's what all new regulations are about. That's what all new laws are about. That's what Obamacare is about, right? You can't do what you want with your own damn health care. Well, Donald Trump is saying, oh, yes, you can. And people like that. They are refreshed by it. That is what they want to hear. And then the other criticism you hear is, oh, he's got a thin skin. He's got a thin skin. Well, in politics, a thin skin works good. It works wonders. Because it means you will not let your critics get away with defining who you are like they did George W. Bush. George W. Bush still lives by what everybody else said about him because he would not stand up for himself and defend himself. And in the process, he did not defend conservatives and he did not defend you and me. Kathy Santomassino helps us out with marketing, and she said something that I think really applies here. She learned that we condition other people's treatment of us. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, if people are condescending to you, it is because you let them be that. Right?
Yep.
Donald Trump does not let other people do that. He conditions other people to treat him with respect. Now, let's put that on the international stage. Are we being treated with respect by, say, Iran right now? Oh, no, we're not. Because we have conditioned them, you see, not to treat us with respect. It started with George W. Bush in the Iraq War. When Soleimani and all his compadres were sending IEDs and specialists and trainers and assassins into Iraq to kill American soldiers, and we didn't do a damn thing about it. Do you think Donald Trump would sit by and do nothing about that? He is showing the world that he would not let anybody push him around, especially some doofus trio of reporters. Oh, yeah, he's thin-skinned. So is Barack Obama. Worked pretty good for him, didn't it? This is the world of politics. It's bare knuckles. Beat their brains out or get your brains beat out. You ain't going to have no joyous little happy little campaign, Mr. Jebby boy. The other side will not allow it. All right, let's go to Mike's phone call before we take Abe Katzman. Mike, thank you for holding. Appreciate that.
No problem. I love your show, Chris. I love what you say, and you guys are great. Good analysis, except for one thing.
What's that?
Okay. I really am, Donald Trump is ahead right now. I'd like his aggressiveness, and most of what he says has to be said. However, I think he would make an absolutely terrible president. I'll give you several reasons why. When Pamela Geller did her Raw Muhammad thing, he said she has no right to do that. Why would she want to provoke some anger? I think, well, that's almost hilarious. Provoke anger? I mean, he provokes anger all the time.
Well, yeah.
It's hilarious. Let me tell you, we don't know how he stands on a lot of things. We don't know how he stands on, he bounces around. He says he shoots from the hip. We don't need that kind of a president. Now, well, I would say that he would be okay, except we have so many other able presidents. Now,
I see where you're coming from, Mike, but I'm explaining why he is where he is. I'm not saying that I think he would make a good president. I'm here analyzing why he is where he is. And if the other candidates would wake up and see this and perk up and stand up and project like he's doing, I think that then they would begin the process of really standing out. And the public is telling us they want something different. They are sick and tired of us getting pushed around.
I think you're absolutely right. Your analysis is right. I think Carly Perina moved ahead because she spoke out. And that's why she moved ahead.
Yeah.
But here's my worry about America. In fact, I'm really think our voting process is flawed. You know, when we said you had to own property in order to vote, that was bad. But it's equally bad letting everybody vote. Here's my proposal. You take a quiz of 10 questions, very simple questions. And if you get 10 right, your vote counts 10. If you get none right, your vote counts 0. And I would say a good portion of America will get 0. All you have to do is watch the man on the street interviews. Our people are absolutely insane. Never underestimate the stupidity of the American people.
Yeah.
Another example, Chris.
Yeah, okay.
Bernie Sanders, he draws huge crowds. He's an avowed socialist communist.
Yes.
People should know that that's a failed system. Yet he draws 10, 15, 20,000 people to him. So that just goes to show you our public is they are not educated enough to vote. They just are not.
All right. Well, I appreciate the points you're making. Thank you for the call. I've got to let you go simply because of time, but I appreciate your call. And first of all, Bernie Sanders is getting big crowds. He's going to the heart of the liberal you know, bastions of liberal communities. But once again, it's because people are so disaffected with their own party. And in terms of him being an avowed socialist and drawing those crowds, that just demonstrates how far we have allowed the conversation to be pulled to the left. And that's why it's going to take somebody bombastic, or if not Donald Trump, somebody as bold and as strong and as undaunted as him to jerk this thing back around in the other direction. All right. Okay. Thanks, Mike. We'll be right back with Abe Katzman. All right, welcome back to the show. Yeah, BBC was running some Bond movies yesterday. They got to watch a little bit of Goldfinger. All right, welcome back to the show. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer, and FM 105.5. 407-774-8255 is the number. And right now we have on the line coming to us live once again tonight from Jerusalem is our man Abe Katzman. Abe, how you doing this evening?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
You guys, we appreciate you being on the show. Y'all still suffering through a heat wave over there?
It's cooled down a little bit. Highs are just in the low 90s now, and it's cooling down at night a little bit. Not as bad as last week. That was tough last week.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, the election is heating up over here. After the first debate, I know it was, you know, like early in the morning over there, if it were someone were to watch it live. First of all, was it broadcast live? Did it get big ratings over there? And two, have you had a chance to see it?
It was broadcast live, and then it was rerun at a more reasonable time. I don't know, 9 a.m. or something like that.
Okay.
So, I mean, the debate actually was at 4. I think it started at 4 a.m.
Your time, right.
That's a little bit early for most people. But I watched I didn't watch the first time. I watched the rerun. And so did a lot of other people. I was actually impressed at how much interest there was in it. Not just by Americans here, but there were Israelis who were watching this and very interested to see what was going on.
Well, I wasn't impressed with the format. I didn't think it was anything like a debate. I was hoping that, for instance, they would ask a question and have each of the guys respond to it so we could compare their answers and compare their positions. So I was very critical of that. I thought that they tried to bushwhack or ambush Donald Trump. And overall, I didn't think that the public got a whole lot out of it. What was your impression of it?
I think that in many ways what the public got was an introduction to a lot of people that they haven't seen that much of. I mean, they've seen a lot of Donald Trump, maybe not in a political context. But in terms of the other candidates, most of them have not been that visible. And this, I think, was very useful for getting people to at least get an initial impression. They were also rerunning clips from the earlier debate. There were a lot of people who had never heard Carly Fiorina before who came away very impressed. People who just, you know, there are a lot of these candidates are names that people know vaguely, but they're only now starting to pay attention. And I think that, while I agree with you that the format may not have been ideal, and I would imagine that in coming debates, they'll be doing something different, it nevertheless, provided a pretty good service.
Okay, you're right. In that sense, it gives everybody a chance to meet these fellas and Carly Fiorina, of course, many of them for the first time. Over here, this was the highest-rated cable program outside of sports programming in history. Any inkling that it was the same over there? I know you said you were fairly impressed.
I don't know what the actual ratings were. There were a surprise. What to me was a surprising number of people who seemed to have seen it, and I don't think it was the highest rated non-sports cable show ever. But it was considering that it's politics in a country that isn't Israel. People were surprisingly well tuned in.
Real quick, just have a few seconds in this, and then we'll get take this up again. Do you think that would hold true in other countries around the Middle East?
That's a good question. I wonder. I think that there is a lot of attention being paid. I think Israel probably pays more attention to the American election than most of the other countries do. Just because of the large American constituency.
Hold it right there. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Of course, we will be here live till 7 o'clock. The Rays are off tonight, so no chance of any preemptions. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart. In the studio with me is Aubrey Kahn. And on the line is our three-time world champion, Abe Katzman, coming to us live from Jerusalem. Abe, let me change it up a little bit here. Let's talk a little bit about Barack Obama and his efforts to get his deal approved in Congress. He gave a blistering speech, and some are characterizing it, at the American University this past week since we spoke with you last, where he basically, well, he didn't basically, he came right out and said, anybody who's against this deal is either ignorant or a liar, and you're, if you don't want this deal, then you want war. How did that go over in Israel?
Well, if you can imagine it, it did not go over all that well. People here found this offensive. Between that statement and a couple of others that he's made, people in Israel hear him blowing anti-Semitic dog whistles. And it is a very dangerous thing. It's reprehensible. It's beneath the office of the president to do things like that. And I think it's very dangerous in terms of what it is that he's unleashing and what it is that he's legitimizing in terms of the, you know, that anybody that opposes this wants war, that it's only a certain lobby. There's a lot of money. There are a lot of hints, and in fact, he singled out Israel as being, he said, every country in the world was for this deal except for Israel. Israel does not appreciate being called out like this for nothing, for, you know, what did Israel do? But to create an environment where you cast aspersions on any kind of opposition to this deal as being purely political or even antagonistic to the interests of the United States and serving the interests of a foreign power, it's just beyond anything I think that the president has ever done before.
Well, I think the president has got himself in a box. I actually heard a pretty good analysis this morning on MSNBC, of all places. The fella said, I don't recall his name, but I think it was one of the regulars. But anyway, he said that the details, the facts of the deal are so bad. I mean, the deal is just so bad that it cannot be in any way, shape, or form defended on its merits. So he has to resort to this Trump-like name-calling, if you will, in order to win enough votes to sustain his veto. What do you think?
I think there's probably something to that. You don't hear him defending this on the merits in terms of, at least not in terms of citing to specific provisions. It's either disingenuous or it's lazy or, I think it's actually kind of sinister. Again, you know, between that statement, and the president was being interviewed by Fareed Zakaria, and made a statement along the lines, that no foreign leader had ever injected himself into an American debate, the way that Prime Minister Netanyahu has. Besides the fact that, I mean, you can think of a few examples going back to Winston Churchill.
I was going
to
say.
Getting right. America into World War II.
Right.
This constant kind of redirection of the focus on Israel being the source of opposition, and the only source of opposition. You're starting to see this also in terms of their reaction to opposition coming from the likes of Senator Schumer.
I was just getting ready to bring him up. He's stepped in it. And to his credit, he at least outwardly, you know, my instincts tell me they have enough votes to sustain the president's veto. But, you know, that hasn't come out. That hasn't been announced yet. So at least he kind of did come out. I guess we have to give him a little bit of credit, Abe, don't we, that he did come out where it might make a bit of a difference?
Yeah, I do. I do give him credit. I've got to admit, I thought that it would be much more, a much quieter opposition, and only once it was guaranteed that this was not going to fail. But he came out with very logical reasons, specifics as to what the problem was with the deal. Very well reasoned, and he got attacked by the White House. I think it was, or maybe it was David Axelrod who just impugned the motives, who just said that, well, there's policy and there's politics, and in this case, politics won. In other words, Schumer would never have opposed this if it were just on the policy grounds, but only because he has a large Jewish constituency would he oppose this deal. And it's just offensive.
Is it creating any problems, however, from Prime Minister Netanyahu there? Is there any tension being created over there? I saw an article, I think, in the New York Times that there's widespread agreement in Israel that this is a bad deal. I guess there are some over there who are nervous that if too much is made of it, that it will make relations between the United States and Israel even worse.
Yes. Some of this is genuine concern that the relationship between America and Israel not be jeopardized. And some of it, I think, is just political opportunism. They think that they can blame there's the opportunity to blame Prime Minister Netanyahu for mismanaging this whole episode. That somehow it could have been managed differently and there wouldn't be as much antagonism between the U.S. administration and the Israeli administration right now. I don't think it's legitimate criticism. Like I said, I think that it's political in terms of its motivation. But I think it's actually been somewhat effective. It's gotten a lot of there's a lot of discussion about this. And in fact, the president of Israel, Israel has kind of a ceremonial presidency.
Right.
But the president of Israel came out and kind of criticized the prime minister, which is a little bit unusual. And again, said that he's got to be very careful what he does in terms of managing that there's nothing more important from a foreign policy standpoint than managing the relationship with the United States. And it happens to be true.
That's true.
It doesn't mean that Prime Minister Netanyahu has done anything wrong.
I was going to say it's true, but you got to consider who's on the other side of the Atlantic, right? Who's in the White House? So I think the Prime Minister has done as good as anyone could do, given the circumstances of who's in the White House. One other question about Israeli domestic politics. I've seen another story where there have been some more arrests of right-wing extremists in Israel. Is that becoming more and more of a problem, or is this a problem being nipped in the bud, so to speak?
Well, it depends who you ask. There has been for a long time a certain current of right-wing extremism. I would say certain extremists within the settler movement. Not the mainstream settler movement, but there are people on the fringes who I would say are anti. Some of them are anti-Arab. Some of them are religious fundamentalists and believe that the Jewish law requires a theocracy in Israel. There are a number of different fringe elements, and in the wake of the violence that was that occurred last week, especially there was this this killing of a there was this arson that caused the death of a of an Arab baby
child,
that they believe was carried out by some of these extremists. There's been a crackdown, and there's been a lot of political pressure to crack down on these elements, and now they're now they're following through and they're arresting some of them. One thing that is not good from my perspective is that they have extended something that called administrative detention to some of these people, which is basically arresting people but not charging them, holding them for a while without charging them, and they can hold them for some time. And that, as an American, that rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, I believe they've already announced that I think two of the leaders they're going to hold for 6 months under those circumstances. So, yeah, I can see how that would. Okay, I want to go back to the deal for one thing. I know we kind of talked about this before, but now it's I believe the administration has admitted it, that the United States is going to protect Iran from sabotage. Is that the way Israel understands this too?
That seems to be in the deal. That is in there. I actually just saw something else that's in the deal, which is that America is committed to facilitating exchanges and visits to nuclear power plants in America for the Iranians so that they can see how a peaceful nuclear program is run.
You better look in that document and see if there isn't some place in there where we offer refueling services for their Air Force. I mean, this is it's absurd, though, but it really concerns me because I hope the Prime Minister knew about this, and I'm sure he did, and gave Ashton Carter an earful when he came over a week or so ago, because this is, I mean, it's beyond bad.
It's starting to become kind of a parody of itself the more we learn about it.
It is.
I mean, it is more and more ridiculous.
All right. Abe, well, we appreciate you so very much. Enjoy the rest of your summer evening over there.
All right. Much appreciated.
All right. And we appreciate you, of course. AbeKatzman.com. That's Katzman with an S. AbeKatzman.com is where you can find Abe's writing, and it's excellent stuff. We'll be right back.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're back, but we're not in Martha's Vineyard with the president who's away on vacation once again. We're part of the working class, and so is our host, Christopher Hart.
I tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, he can stay up there in Martha's Vineyard for the rest of his term.
I don't think they want him up there that long.
I don't think they do. All right, that is Aubrey Kahn, and you are welcome to join the show, too, at 407-774-8255. We now have in the studio with us John Barros. John has been on the show a couple of times, and we'll sort of reintroduce him here in a second. John, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
And you've brought one of your volunteers with you today, I see here.
Yes, I think you know her.
Yep. I'm happy, so very happy to have back in the studio with us this afternoon our very first, and my favorite, intern, Samantha. Hey, girl.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great, especially with you in the studio today. And you brought your friend Phil?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Phil, you want to say hello to the world out there? All right, well, we appreciate you guys all coming down, being in the studio today. Once again, John, tell them who you are and what you do. I mean, your organization, your website and all that.
Oh, okay. Well, my name's John Barros. I do have a website. It's called whowillstand.net, and you're more than welcome to go there. I'm with Presbyterian Evangelistic Fellowship, but I'm mainly from my church, St. Andrew's Chapel in Sanford. And we stand in front of the Orlando Women's Center and try and encourage girls to look at other options than killing their children.
And you witnessed many miracles, or many changes of heart, let's put it that way, in both. You've seen in your time there.
Oh, yes, sir.
And you've seen some more changes since you were on our show last.
Oh, yes, sir.
And I want to talk about those in a minute. But, Samantha, you've been going to college.
have.
Come on, get close to the mic there. You just recently graduated. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was your degree in?
It was in psychology and cognitive science.
In cognitive science. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That'll help her with Philip.
I was going to say, we need some of your analysis around here. How long have you been volunteering?
Almost a year now.
Almost a year. How did you get started?
Through our church, actually.
Which is that, St. Andrew's?
Yeah, St. Andrew's.
That's cool. And how do you feel about doing it?
It's pretty incredible. It was a little bit intimidating at first, but you really get to see it's just spiritual warfare out there, God working.
It's God in action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you constantly say, John.
Yes, sir. You know, Samantha here, she probably won't say, but she like even today, she was with lots of girls, offering them places to go, giving her brochures, offering to pray with them. And she has actually taken girls from there to crisis pregnancy centers before and to get their ultrasounds and get the help they need started.
Wow. What do they say to you when you're taking them? Are they afraid? Are they what's sort of the general reaction?
It's always different. You just kind of never know. But I know one person in particular. Her name was Consuela, and she was actually homeless and became pregnant. Her boyfriend was in jail. So she really just had no one to turn to, and she just needed someone to be there for her, a sign, a fuel.
Wow. And you guys were there.
Mm-hmm.
John, when someone comes out for the first time to volunteer, is there any one thing that they notice first about the experience?
Well, we had a girl today that is her new roommate came out for her first time. So maybe she probably spoke to her afterwards, and maybe she can shed more light on that.
Tell us, Samantha.
She was just saying that it was very sad because there's just so much that goes on there. It's just out of our hands, and you really just have to put your faith and your trust in God with how he's going to work out there. It's scary.
Well, when you come away from a day out there, do you feel sad?
Feel exhausted, drained, but it's rewarding and pretty incredible to get to see just exactly how God is working.
Wow. And John, since you were with us last, I think last time you were here, you told us about a couple that was considering having an abortion. Did they come back?
No, they did not. They didn't come back. But there's many couples and there's many girls that... honestly, that God works in their hearts. I know last Friday was really something else. We were there. We meet with all the people before they go in, and then I preach a sermon after they've all settled down inside. And this girl came running out. Her name was...
came right out of the clinic?
Yeah, her name was Rebecca. And she said, thank you, thank you, thank you. She said... I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And she came over. We took her over. There's this little wall we sit at. And she began to tell us her story that she had fallen away from God. She had been raised in the church in Louisville, Kentucky. And that she had fallen away from God and got hooked up with some guy. And now she was found herself pregnant and didn't know what to do. But it was amazing because she just kept saying, I heard you in there. And I said, I know people hear me in there. She says, you don't understand. I heard you in there. And I said, well, that's not me. That's God applying it to you and opening your eyes because everybody in there heard it, but they didn't hear it like you heard it. And we had a beautiful time of prayer and whatnot. And she's doing fine.
Samantha, you said you've been doing this about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody come back to thank you in particular for helping them out?
I really feel like it's not, we're just there, but I think it's really God helping them through us a lot of the time. And they're so grateful for that. It's just pretty incredible to see, but they do come back and visit all the time with their children.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Are you the youngest person there doing this, or are there a lot of young people there doing this?
There are a lot of young people, a lot of college children, or students will come from the colleges that are around the area to help.
How do volunteers know to do this? I mean, other than hearing you talking on my show, how do people find out about what you're doing down there?
Well, they can go to whowillstand.net and they can get a hold of us that way, or they can just show up at Orlando Women's Center at 1103 Lucerne Terrace any day, and we're there. And God has really made huge impacts on people's lives. Like she was saying about the college, at Reformation Bible College over in Sanford, they're going to have 130 students this semester. And ever since they started, they began sending them down there to learn how to open air preach, how to deal with people that are coming to have an abortion, as well as we deal with a lot of homeless people and addicts.
Sure.
As well.
And once again, that's whowillstand.net. And please stand alongside John Barros and Samantha and the other volunteers that come out there, because you don't get paid for any of this, right?
No, there's nobody getting paid. They try to tell the people inside the clinic that we're protesters, which we're not, and they try to tell them that we're paid by some national pro-life organization, which we're not.
You're all about saving souls and spirits. It's all about, it's a spiritual thing, isn't it, Samantha? It's not, you were on the show before, you know, we talk politics. What you're doing down there is not politics, is it?
No, we're not ever there to protest. We're just there because we care about their babies and their souls, and we just want to be there for them to help them in any way that they need.
Yeah, you know, what she just said, it's as much about the mother as it is, of course, about the child, right?
Yes, sir.
And then hopefully about the father, too. But in particular, you're trying to save everyone that's involved in this situation. And that's some pretty heavy lifting. But you get it done.
The Lord tells us to go, and he's not going to send us somewhere that he's not going to do work.
All right.
Amen.
All right, when we come back, John and Samantha and, of course, Aubrey are going to still be in the studio with us, and I hope you will be, too. And you can, of course, join us at 407-774-8255. Don't forget, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And you can hear this show archived at our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. We'll be right back. That's right, folks. We're trying to help you see the light, help you see the truth. Welcome back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, for the very best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. He'll take care of those choppers. And he only shoots animals with a camera. And don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. All right, I am Christopher Hart. In the studio, I still have with me Firm Foundation Home Inspection's own Aubrey Kahn.
Hello again.
And, of course, if you need your home inspected, or if you're buying a home and you want to get it inspected, or if you're buying a piece of commercial property, you want to get it inspected, this is the guy to have do it, because he is the most thorough and the most knowledgeable inspector that you will find anywhere in Central Florida. And if you pay, he will go.
Amen.
You're going where? Jacksonville this week, you said?
Jacksonville, New Smyrna. I was there today. Tomorrow I'm in Longboat Key.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're not going to end up on Martha's Vineyard, are you?
It's a, hey, you know.
If they pay,
I will go. It's a three-tank week this week.
There you go. OrlandosHomeInspector.com. For Aubrey Kahn, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com. Or give him a call at 321-624-0254.
After seven.
That's right. Our phone number is 407-774-8255. And in the studio, we have with us this afternoon for his monthly visit with us is John Barros. And you can visit John Barros at whowillstand.net. And he stands literally every day outside the abortion clinic on Lucerne Terrace downtown. And works to serve the Lord in trying to bring spiritual enlightenment to the women and men who go to the clinic there in hopes of trying to persuade them to seek another alternative other than abortion. And with us in the studio, I'm thrilled to say today we have our intern from yesterday gone by, Samantha, back with us. Samantha, it feels so good to have you back in the studio.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be back.
And all the other fellas and everybody says to tell you hello.
Well, hi back.
and I get to give you a hug from each and every one of them, individually.
Okay.
Nicholas Cicero's on the bridge, 407-774-8255 is the number. Just a real quick review about the first hour of the show. Of course, we had Abe Katzman on. We talked about the deal. We talked a little bit about the debate. Moby Dick Lives, that's the nickname I have given to Donald Trump, because you have all of these Ahabs out there trying to kill the whale, and yet he swims on. He's even going up in the polls for now, anyway. And there seems to be a lot of people stupefied and mystified as to why. So, of course, we try to provide the answers around here. So I think it's pretty basic. I think everybody is kind of halfway right when they understand that Republicans and conservatives in particular are highly dissatisfied with the management. Okay? And he is the personification of that. But I think even more than that, I think that at the core of it, Donald Trump hammers home a positive can-do attitude message over and over and over again. And it goes something like this. The United States is great, we should be great, and we would be great if it weren't for the doofuses in the way. And it's pretty hard to argue with that when you get right down to it. And then the rest of it is just, you know, kind of the froth. But that is the core of his message. And that message is resonating now more than ever. It always resonates to a certain extent when you think about it. That was at the heart of the Hope and Change campaign, was it not? Right? This is a great nation, but it can be a whole lot greater.
After we've ruined it. Let's have a beer summit.
In their case, they're going to ruin it to make it better. Right. But in Trump's case, hopefully he has the... But the lesson here, and once again, I think he's the long shot in this, probably the longest shot of all the candidates, with the exception of maybe Carson and Fiorina. But having said that, his message is powerful, and that message, if the other candidates and if the establishment of the Republican Party would understand the dynamic of what he is doing here, perhaps they wouldn't be so stupefied and mystified as to his popularity. And then there was this one, I think he is the Republican Party chairman of the state of New York, said over the weekend, or it came out today anyway, that Donald Trump was ruining the Republican brand.
Well, yes, he is, because right now the Republican brand is, let's get into power and then do everything the Democrats want.
Well, no, the Republican brand has long since been ruined, okay? The Republican brand, I'm here to tell you, is garbage, whereas Donald Trump is seen as gold. This is perception is reality in politics, and this is the dynamic that is at work here. Donald Trump understands something that we've been saying on this show since day one, haven't we, Samantha? That politics is like professional wrestling. Like it or not, it is. He understands that. The Democrats have understood it for decades. That's the only reason they find themselves in office. Because they don't. Like we talked about with Abe Katzman with this nuclear deal with Iran. It is such a bad deal that it cannot be defended on its merits. So the president resorts to Trump-like name-calling in order to get his deal done. So, once again, Trump's message is a positive message. It works every time. The man knows it. He knows how to brand himself, and he will not let others brand him. Let's take Rick's phone call right now. Rick, thank you for calling.
Would you like a Democrat's take on some of this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Not all the candidates, but first of all, I don't agree with you, you know, on Trump. He just reminds me of a high school kid who brags about himself and calls each other names and very immature. But to me, the biggest loser of all is Walker on women's rights. I cannot believe he doesn't care about the life of a mother. Most people disagree with that. Well, I thought that was the worst statement I've ever heard.
Well, we'll take that up here in just a couple of minutes.
Also, the winners, I thought... I'll save what I thought was the best for last. Christie, because he outlined reform, entitlement reform. He explained things. And Bush, you know, he was acting, not acting like a crazy guy, and he was sensible about most of the things he was talking about, immigrants and education.
He reminds me of the kid in the class who didn't do his homework and is hoping the teacher doesn't call on him.
No, not really. Though, if I was a Republican, Kasich, hands down, was the biggest winner.
Well,
he showed
because,
compassion for the poor. He's smart. He's practical.
I was getting ready to say that's because he had the most democratic of the answers of the whole night.
Right.
So
no, but he showed that. And I wanted to know also your opinion of the debate within the debate between Christie and Paul. I haven't heard you say which side of that issue you were on.
Well, first of all, I did recognize that the other day as the actual only debate part of the debate that we saw that night. That was the closest thing to a debate that there was, that few minutes of back and forth between those two candidates. And we should have heard what each and every one of the other candidates had to say on that.
What do you
You're
think?
Asking me my opinion. You know, I would have liked to have known what the other candidates thought about that. Now, in terms of did I fall on Rand Paul's side or do I fall down on that on Chris Christie's
yeah,
side?
I'm in the middle somewhere.
I tend to be with you then. I tend to be more Rand Paulish when it comes to that, to be honest with you.
And one more thing, as far as candidates I don't think have a chance or I think are unqualified, Carson comes across as easygoing, likable, amiable, and sense of humor. I don't agree with him on very much, but Fiorina strikes me as mean, nasty, calling Clinton a liar. And I think of all the candidates, I like her the least.
Kind of reminds you of Hillary, doesn't it?
Rick, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Please repeat what you said about Trump. You said he's a number of things.
He reminds me of these kids in high school who are always bragging about themselves and calling, you know, each other's names and just lashing out. It just turns me off. And the old Trump, I would agree with him on some of the issues, but he flip-flops all over the place. I don't know where he stands.
But, Rick, hold on. Did you vote for Obama?
Yeah.
Isn't that exactly
he's
like?
Against the Iran deal.
But hold on. Isn't Obama an egotist?
In some ways.
Doesn't he call everybody else out and call them liars and call them names when they don't agree with him?
He doesn't strike me as brash, though.
Not? You haven't been listening to him.
I think it's a pretty good comparison myself. And once again, Barack Obama is president because he understands a little bit about politics. You see, this is where Trump is teaching the Republicans a lesson here if they would just pay attention. Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate you call. Thanks so much for being out there. You know, he said something there about Scott Walker not being concerned about the life of the mother. I heard some people talking about this over the supposedly knowledgeable people talking about this over the weekend. Very rarely, if ever, is an abortion needed to save the life of the mother. Is that your understanding, John?
Yes, sir. I work real closely with a doctor pretty much every day of my life. And he says that is just about non-existent.
It's less than 0.1%.
There's nothing that he says, well, not nothing, but he says that with the technology we have today, that there is no pregnancy just about that ever has to worry about the mother dying.
And I think Walker did make that as one of the exceptions. Right, he did not agree on abortion due to rape or incest because, let's face it, it's not the child's fault. But in the case of where the mother was in danger of losing her life, yeah, then he says that's fine. And if you take a look at Jewish law, it works the same way.
Yeah, but I guess the anti-abortion view would be if you have that exception, we know that it is so rare that that is necessary, but that people would use that as an excuse, so to speak. Let me ask this, John. Do you happen to know that if any women that you have helped persuade to have a child, that child was the result of rape or incest?
I do know some, and I know some people that are survivors of rape and incest that are pro-life and are showing how, you know, that they matter. They matter just as much as anybody else. And that to talk like they should be, that they should have been possibly had their life ended because of the fact that they were a result of rape or incest, you know, it really makes them angry, really makes them feel. And it is, like he said, there's, it's not the baby's fault. And a baby should not die for the sins of its father.
Or the mother, for that matter. But also, with all the mothers whose pregnancies you've rescued, how many of those mothers have died giving during childbirth?
Well, none that I know of.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Once again, we're talking with John Barros and Samantha, who stand outside the abortion clinic in downtown Orlando and try to bring the light of the gospel message and to women and men who are frequenting that clinic down there. WhoWillStand.net is where you can find out more about John. And that great DVD that you showed me, that 10-minute long, what was it, about 10-minute long video that was done about you?
Yeah, they can see that on my website. Click on video. It'll say video. You can click on that and see it.
It's powerful stuff. And, of course, you hear what John sees every day. And it's not always an easy job. And we'll pick that up on the other side of the break. Once again, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we would love to have you be a member of the American Adversaries Army. It's real easy to do. All you got to do is go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Click on over to the recruiting office, and you can sign up right there, and you will get our monthly intel brief. That's our newsletter. And, of course, it's packed with great stuff, along with some coupons and things of that nature. And you'll also be entered into a drawing for our Come Sail Away With Me cruise. You going on that thing, Aubrey?
I'm trying to persuade my wife.
Oh, okay. It's going to be fun. It's going to be November the 13th.
It would be. I'd love to go.
Well, we're going to give a free ticket away to somebody in our Army.
And I'd get a cabin which faces away from the way that Dr. Ken practices his skeet shooting.
He is going. And we'll be right back. A little bit of Searching by the Skinner Boys for you right there, folks. If you're searching for the truth, you have come to the right place because you have found the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Once again, we have the people here who deliver the truth daily out to the clinic downtown. That'd be John Barros and one of his volunteers. Samantha are both in the studio with us today. And Aubrey Kahn, who is fighting a good fight. He's standing up. He does it a little bit more from the
financial side.
Well, I was going to say, you know, from the other side of things, but he is a big help to the people in town, the organizations in town who fight alongside John and Samantha. All right, let's take a phone call, and then I've got some more questions for John and Samantha. Rick, thank you for calling. Appreciate you.
Well, how you doing, guys? Always a great show.
Thank you.
But you had a call a few minutes ago, and unfortunately, his name was Rick. Well, I'm just kidding about the unfortunate.
Well, you know, we've got to walk in love and forgiveness there, Rick.
That's okay. We got senses of humor around here. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Anyway, so he mentioned, he was disappointed with Walker because he can't believe that, you know, he's so insensitive about women's health or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and let me tell you something. Doctors, and I tell you, everybody in your audience knows somebody who was told they had 6 months to live 30 years ago, okay? And they're still kicking. And specifically about the mother, you know, the mother's life and the abort. My sister, who is now in her 50s, was supposed to be, it's either, this was the words of the doctor, these were, it's either the baby or your wife to my father, you know? And both of them are, you know what I mean, were just fine. And I've heard that story over and over from other people that were given the choice, the baby or the mother. And the mothers around and the babies around, you know what I'm saying? And doctors are quick to pronounce death. And I just wanted to make that particular comment because I think they're making a mountain out of a molehill because that's the exception rather than the rule.
But hold on. Don't go away. John, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, you know, that is the same story they told Tim Tebow's mom.
That's right.
You remember?
Yeah.
I've heard that over and over over the years everywhere. Everybody's heard the same story from somebody, you know, somebody in their family or somebody they know or neighbor or what have you. It happens all the time. And doctors, oh, it's either you or, you know, the your wife or the baby, all the time.
You know, you make a great point there, and that was a situation with Tim Tebow. I'd forgotten all about that, but yeah, that's, and of course the parents being very, you know, spiritual, they put it in God's hands,
right.
And Tim Tebow is now a Philadelphia Eagle.
Only the Lord knows how much time you have. You know, doctors are quick to tell you got 1 month, 2 years, or whatever. You know, and they're usually very wrong, very wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Anyway,
hey Rick,
I gotta take a call here.
Hey,
thank you so much.
Hey, okay, all right. Thank you, Rick. We appreciate you being out there. I was gonna offer him a bottle of Roxy Pacifics, but I tell you what, that's a great call, and he's right about that.
He's right on the money. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. John, though, this isn't always, I mean, it's sometimes it can get kind of dicey out there.
Oh, yes, sir. Very much so.
And usually it's men.
Yes.
And why?
Well, it's because so many of these guys that come, they're just bringing that girl to get rid of their responsibility. They don't see that young lady there as having their son or daughter inside of them. But they look at it as 20 years of payments. They'll even tell you a lot of the time. And so, yeah, they get upset, especially if the girl begins to start changing her mind. And there's a lot of brawls go on down there. God protects us, but I'll tell you, they were brawling down there today and out in the back parking lot, a couple. And it's pretty much very common, because I believe honestly that demons live at that place. I know you might think I'm crazy, but honestly, the things I see come out of people's mouths and the things I hear on a daily basis, you would never hear anywhere else. Honestly, nowhere else.
But you got the force field of the Lord around you.
Amen.
You guys do so. But nonetheless, you're actually trying to help the men out too. Because they feel guilty, too. They feel real guilty. All right, so stick around with us, because we got another half hour to go. No Rays game tonight, so we'll be here until 7 o'clock. There will be Rays tomorrow and the next night, but then Thursday and Friday we're going to have the whole 2 hours, too. So we got a lot of great radio lined up for you this week.
I won't be here, so does it matter that much?
It does. It does matter. And it matters if you folks aren't here, too, so please don't go away.
Win.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got us here, and we'll still be here until 7 o'clock on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5. The number is 407-774-8255. Got a couple of questions. Go ahead, Aubrey.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions for John. All right? You know, we've just been talking about the guys at the that come down there, and they want to fight and so on. But I don't know one guy who has encouraged his girlfriend, or especially his girlfriend, to have an abortion. She has it, and then she goes into postpartum depression. And what does he do? Get out of the house. Throws him out. They land up on the streets. And I'm sure those girls come back to you, and then they start looking for help.
Well, yes, but, you know, that is something that people don't talk about. It's worse than postpartum depression. Because with postpartum depression, it's something that was outside of your control. But when you've had an abortion, you were the one that caused it. And you've got that
guilt,
leading upon yourself. There's a center for drug-free living right down the street from me where girls get methadone on a daily basis. And a lot of those girls started out by having an abortion at that clinic. And then trying to numb the pain, ended up hooked on heroin or crack cocaine. I mean, we talk to them all the time, right, Samantha? Mm-hmm. And the guys are long gone, because they're not going to live with that.
Right. They don't want to put up with it, so they find another girl who will sleep with them. And
yep. do it all over again.
Right. You know, they use abortions as a form of contraception.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what they do at Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
I want to get to that in a minute, but we got a question from one of our listeners out there. We thank you for that. What do you preach when you preach? You call it, I think, open air preaching. What do you preach when you preach every morning out there?
Well, it time wouldn't allow it here to go into it all, but. What we do is we try to meet with them first as they're arriving, and then there's a period of time where they are filling out paperwork inside and asking all their questions. But we can pretty much judge when that's over with, and then we'll preach. And what I preach is I try to warn them about the record of that place. I try to warn them about what has happened to girls. Like last Wednesday, Philip was there. There was a girl and her mother came back. That pieces of her baby were coming out of her 2 months after having an abortion there. So we try to warn them about all those things. Then we go into what God thinks of this, and God's word tells us in Proverbs 6 about the 7 deadly sins that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. I mean, there's no getting around it. It's not a political idea that he hates. It's the hands. It's the people involved. He hates it. And then we warn them about... other things that God's word says about this, but then we always present them with the gospel. We tell them all that, and I tell you, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of girls choose life, and I've never seen one where this verse did not apply in their lives, and that is that if they seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things will be given to you. And I have yet to see somebody that God has not, that has trusted him, that God has let down. It doesn't happen, period.
Samantha, do most of these girls, these women, go on to become Christians?
Many of them do. A lot of them actually wind up coming to our church. We'll invite them, and they wind up just walking in, and it's really powerful.
Because that you're delivering a spiritual message. I mean, all alongside the other arguments, but you're also the most potent part of your message is the spiritual message, I would think.
Yes, sir, because I think that the only thing really that changes a girl's heart is going to be the gospel. And that's what you need to have happen there, because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to correct those that are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance and open their eyes, that they might see the snare of the devil having been taken by him to do his will. So there's something there that has to happen that we cannot do. We can proclaim the gospel, but like that girl I told you about earlier in the program, she said she could really hear it. And that's God applying the gospel to her heart, which when that happens, then of course the baby's saved, she's saved, everybody's saved. I mean, it's...
What kind of follow-up do you do once they start, for instance, coming to church? Is there special classes that you do for them, or you have a special Sunday school where you start not just teaching them the way they should go, but transforming their lives?
Well, we do that in several different ways. There's crisis pregnancy centers that we get them to begin with. We mainly use True Life Choices, First Life over at First Baptist, and then Sanford Crisis Pregnancy Center. And those ladies get into, you know, after they get the ultrasound and everything's changed, then we can analyze what it is they need. I actually have a deacon from my church that comes down to the clinic where he can analyze what their physical needs are and the things that they need to be done. There's ladies in our church that wrap themselves around these girls and help them in every way they can. We will be as involved with these ladies as they will let us.
Planned Parenthood, since you were on the show last and we spoke last, these videos have begun to come out. We're all horrified by what we see. Is it in any way making your job easier? For lack of better words.
You know, this is going to surprise people, but the people are harder. I'm considering not even mentioning that anymore. because the stuff that comes out of their mouth, we have them talk about cannibalism, about their own children. We talk to them saying that, yeah, we're in a soup line here at OWC. And when you mention these body parts and all this thing, ask them if they've seen them. They've seen the videos. But it seems to make them harder than normal.
So it's having it's hardening their opinions to get an abortion?
Well, I believe that they're having to make their hearts harder to combat it.
I see.
And it's really tough. It's tough to hear people talk like that. I mean, I don't know. It's really difficult. You have no idea to hear people talking about eating their children or the, you know, things like that.
Well, now, who's saying that?
The people going in to the clinic.
I see. Wow, that's pretty surprising to me there.
Well, I would both of you, well, he's talked about maybe looking at it, but you guys should, if you ever get a chance, and I would encourage anybody out there, you don't believe this stuff, call me, get a hold of me on however, just get a hold of me. I can tell you what day, whatever day is free for you. I can tell you what time to be there, and you will see this stuff. And it's, I mean, we get to see God do wonderful things, but at the same time, there is a darkness there that is just absolutely appalling.
Now, this is not a Planned Parenthood clinic, is it?
No, sir.
Do you think they do the same thing, though, that Planned Parenthood has been doing?
Well, here's the amazing thing. As you've been watching those films about Planned Parenthood videos, you've been seeing that the goal that they've had is for intact babies.
Right.
Well, at our abortion clinic at Orlando Women's Center, they get intact babies every week because they do a certain abortion there where they begin labor on Wednesdays, and then they send them home, and they have them come back, and they will march Thursday and Friday trying to hurry up the labor, and then they'll take them in and deliver their babies into a toilet half full of water without any surgical instruments or anything. It's these special labor and delivery abortions. They deny that they sell the baby parts. I've asked them, but I mean, so did Planned Parenthood before all this stuff came out. I have no idea.
Samantha, what was your thoughts the first time you saw them marching around? Can you see them marching when they do that?
Oh, yes.
You can. They're right in the parking lot right next to us, and it's pretty horrifying. You can't really imagine anything that is horrible until you experience it.
It just sounds so...
They give them medication to induce early labor, and yeah, it's sickening.
Oh, wow. All right, once again, we're talking with John Barros and Samantha, and they volunteer their time and go downtown. And this, what y'all do, does it go on at all the abortion clinics in Central Florida?
Pretty much, yes. We have friends that are over at All Women's over in Maitland, and then friends at Planned Parenthood. And then there's the abortion clinic I work for. That guy owns another one over on Virginia Avenue. And so if anybody wants to get plugged into any one of these areas, just get a hold of me, and I'll get you in touch with the people that are there.
And you need some mentorship, or you need some knowledge about what to do. You don't want to just walk up and think you're going to be effective, right?
Right, but there really is no better lesson than to come and observe and just watch, and then as you keep coming, and then as you get, like Samantha, the first time she came, she was like, like petrified. But I'll tell you, you should see her now. I mean, she's not afraid to engage these ladies and let them know that she loves them.
Samantha?
It is definitely something that's hard if you're not used to going up to people and just putting yourself out there. But once you start speaking to these women and you see them just being affected by the gospel, and you kind of realize that you're a way smaller part of this.
Yeah.
And it's more how God is using you, and it's just going to be God's will no matter what you do at the end of the day. So.
And who could refuse that smile of hers, right?
I absolutely. Tell you.
All right. Once again, go to whowillstand.net. to help John out. If you want to contact him, they can do that by your website, can't they?
Yes, sir.
Whowillstand.net, and watch the video there. It's a powerful video. It's only about 9 or 10 minutes, I think, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's very instructive. And I'm sorry to hear that, though, that the Planned Parenthood actually becomes an impediment to what you're doing down there. I mean, the expose, if you will, of what Planned Parenthood is doing.
Well, it is waking people up, though. You know what I mean? I mean, it's getting people that didn't realize what was going on. I mean, what abortion really entails. But as far as the clients coming in there, it seems to be making them harder. And other people that I've spoken to seem to say the same thing. But as long as if it could wake people up in our country, right? And that's what you guys' show is all about. And, you know, I think it was the ex-governor of Arkansas,
Huckabee
said, yeah. He spoke
at
once.
At the debate.
But before that even, he said that William Wilberforce, when he was fighting slavery, said the thing that turned it was when people got the details.
I see, yeah.
And that's what's happening right now with this.
Well, you're absolutely right. People are getting the details, and they ain't pretty. All right, let's see. We'll go ahead and take our final break for today. When we come back, we'll have another segment of the show. Once again, you can join us, 407-774-8255. You better call now, though. And don't forget, if you missed last night's show, I think it was a doozy. So go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and take it in. All right, welcome back to the show, folks, where we're trying to get you off that crazy train out there. You got us until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn, who's a great sponsor of the show here. And he's Firm Foundation Home Inspector. He's the owner of Firm Foundation Home Inspections, and you can visit him at orlandoshomeinspector.com. John Barros and Samantha are in the studio with us today, and I tell you what, you want to talk about some courage. These folks have got some real courage. I'll get to that in just a minute. But real quick, John, you got a Facebook page where people can follow you?
Yes, sir.
And what is it, please?
John Barros.
And that's Barros, John Barros, on Facebook. You can follow him there. You have like a prayer followers.
Yes, sir. I post pretty much every day from there.
And I don't know if we're making what they do sound too easy here. It can get very ugly down there, can it not?
Yes, sir.
I mean, some of the things that John was just telling us that some of these women will come up and scream in their face, spit on you, pretty much anything short of violence, and yet you still go back every day.
Yes, sir.
And then you said that on some of the most chaotic days, you know that on that day, someone will come out of that clinic.
Well, we can't be positively 100% sure, but we know that once there's chaos there that God is working strongly, because, you know, there is a war there of two worlds. You know, there's the kingdom of darkness that they're in behind those doors there, and then the kingdom of light, and they cannot coexist. So there's always going to be tension. There will always be tension.
And Samantha, you said, though, that God can work on anybody.
Sometimes
right.
You see these people going in there, the same people that are the ones that are spitting on you, yelling all of these horrible things. You watch after John preaches them come running out, falling into the grass in tears, just repentant of how the word has touched them. And it's incredible.
Where else can you see that sort of God in action? It's a heavy thing, but it takes great courage to do that. It takes great stamina, because you have to go home at night some nights, you know, after hearing all the cussing and getting spat on and things, and you didn't, you know, nobody came running out of there. I mean, those days you have to put behind you and you have to go back the next day. That can be tough, can't it?
Yes, sir. It can be, but, it makes you so thankful for your family. You know, I get to go home and get to see my wife and my kids, and we don't talk about this kind of stuff unless something kind of unusual happened, and explain it to them. But I just want to hear how the grades were, how the football practice was, or my wife's...
You want to have a normal life.
Yeah.
Speaking of normal lives, Samantha, you just graduated. Congratulations again. What you going to do next?
Going to graduate school.
Really?
In 2 weeks.
You don't believe in vacations either, do you?
No.
Well, congratulations on that, and all the best of luck to you. And, of course, you guys are in our prayers, and I plead for my audience. I plead to you folks out there, please pray for these folks. Pray for John. Pray for Samantha and everybody else that's doing this, because they are doing great work. I know John says that it's God that's doing the work, but you know, without John and Samantha and other folks like them, it'd be a whole lot harder for God. Let's just put it that way. And they are literally on the front line. And so, you know, please do hold them in your prayers and help them out if you can. WhoWillStand.net and follow John Barros. That's two R's, John Barros on Facebook. And is there any one case, for lack of a better word, that stands out in your mind, John, since we saw you last?
Well, the biggest one would have been what I said earlier of that young lady that that just heard God speak to her heart and changed, literally crushed her, and gave her an awareness of where she stood with him, and but yet trusted him. And she came out so thankful, and all the people that were there helping that day were just loving on her, and it was just a beautiful thing.
You said that, Samantha, you took your roommate today for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going back?
She is. We're going to go on Wednesday.
What do you feel when you see one of these women come out and they're in tears and you know something has happened?
It is overwhelming in the best way possible. You're so happy that she's choosing life for her child, and you just are relieved that something horrible or something that could have happened that was a lot more horrible did not.
Do you feel a little closer to God?
Yeah.
You do. Well, it's because you are. You know, so once again, but this work will never be done, really, in essence, because it is the clash of two worlds. This is the front line now. There will always be a front line. There will always be need for people like you to deliver the message out there.
Well, you know, this sin is as old as the book of Genesis. In Baal worship, In the Bible, as you go through, you'll see that that this has been going on since then. In fact, in Psalm 106, if I might read something here,
please
real
do.
Quick.
Yeah,
in Psalm 106, they're talking about Israel's sin of throughout their history, and then when they get to Psalm 106, verse 22, it says, it said that, wait a minute.
That's okay.
Sorry. Oh, wrong. Give me 1 second here. Okay, it says, they did not destroy the people concerning who the Lord had commanded them. And then this is haunting, especially towards our country and the spot that we're in now. Because it says, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hands of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. And, you know, if the amount of babies that were killed there polluted the land, what in the world is we're pushing 60 million of them here in this country?
I believe it's like 10,000 a week, isn't it? Something to that effect.
Well, I think it's 3,500, but it's...
It's ridiculously high. It's over a million a year, so, yeah, it's crazy.
And that's why we have to have illegals in our country.
To make up for those,
yeah, huh? it's
I don't think so.
Well, unfortunately, that's part of the equation. Nonetheless, one last question. Have you ever had a woman come to you and say, I wish I did listen to you?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, quite often when they come back for checkups. I mean, I've had them say it when they walk out the door after having an abortion. Say, I wish I would have listened to you. It's like I told you in 2 Timothy 2, it talks about there being a blindness, a spiritual blindness. That, but yeah, I hear that a lot.
And do you say God still loves you and God forgives you?
Well, I tell them that they need to repent, and that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But it's all sin that we truly repent of, not just that your feelings are hurt or something like that, but you truly repent of sinning against God, and that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
All right. I guess we're going to have to leave it there. Samantha, so good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
John, great to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Once again, we'll hold you guys in our prayers. Aubrey Kahn, always great to see you, sir.
Always a pleasure.
Philip, thanks for being with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for being with us today. And don't forget, you have been listening to The American Adversaries on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And we'll be back tomorrow with Ron Brown, author of a great book. It's called Call Sign Extortion 17, The Shootdown of SEAL Team 6. You won't want to miss it. Night, everybody.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.